Hello and welcome into the Sight and Sound Technology Podcast. My name is Stuart Lawler and this is episode number 94. As always, you can reach us at podcast@sightandsound.co.uk. That's the all-important email address. We love hearing from you with your comments or questions or suggestions or anything you think you'd like to see on the show. Now, coming up on today's programme, it's AI All The Way. We'll be hearing about new AI innovations from Envision. Karthik Mahadevan is going to be talking to me. And Kelvin Duncan from Blazy Engineering in the UK is introducing their new Blazy Agent. Stay right where you are. I don't know if it's too late to say Happy New Year. I'm conscious this is the first show of 2025. So look, Happy New Year. Okay, I said to somebody the other day, we're nearly saying Happy Chinese New Year, but Happy New Year. Hope everybody is keeping well, and I hope you've had a nice break, and Christmas and New Year's went well and all that stuff. It's the 200th. I was starting to sound Scottish there. It's the 200th anniversary of Braille this year. In 1825, Louis Braille presented his Braille code in school in Paris, and we all know what happened after that. And we're celebrating 200 years of Braille. Watch our webinar timetable this year, by the way, because we're going to have some Braille sessions on. We're also delighted to be participating with our friends from RNIB in some of their community library events. So we're going to be in the Mitchell Library on the 28th of January. I'm really looking forward to that, actually. That's in Glasgow in Scotland, just meeting people, talking about Braille and technology and how they fuse. And then we're going to be in Lisburn City Library on the 25th of February up in Northern Ireland, again talking about Braille and all that good stuff. And the day after that, by the way, on the 26th, our team are going to be also in Lisburn in the Lagan Valley Centre at the RNIB Technology Fair, which is taking place in Lisburn from 11 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. There's loads of stuff going on. We'll have to get Jackie Brown, actually, from RNIB on the show to just help us. Help us kind of unpack all that stuff, because lots of things going on in Northern Ireland in February. Now, as I say, loads about AI on this episode of the show. So let's get on with it and hear from our guests. Now, there's no doubt that AI has revolutionized the way in which we live, work, and learn. And for people with vision impairments, there are some obvious benefits to AI. When you combine this with a set of smart glasses, then the potential to increase our independence and quality of life is endless. And we're delighted that our friends at Envision have been doing some amazing work in setting up their Ally assistant, virtual assistant on smart glasses. And indeed, there is an app which I've been lucky enough to beta test. And here to tell us all about it is CEO and co-founder of Envision, Karthik Mahadevan. Karthik, it's lovely to have you on the podcast, first of all. So you're very welcome.
Hey, Stuart. Yeah, it's lovely to be on.
Now, listen, we'll talk about Ally in a sec and AI and all that stuff. But just maybe before we do, I get the every time I talk to someone from your company, there's something new and exciting. I get the impression that you guys are always pushing the boundaries and trying to get the next big thing, really making an impact to the community you're serving. Is that right?
Yeah. So everyone at Envision is just, extremely passionate and excited about the work that we're doing. So a new piece of technology or any development that's out there, we are just all super excited to, be ahead of the curve on that as much as possible, because we don't just want to follow along, but we want to also, lead the way in way these technologies can be used actually for impact.
when I'm, I, you know, I suppose I'm thinking, Karthik, but I remember the first time I sort of read about ChatGPT, it was maybe a little over 2 years ago. When you sort of started hearing about AI and hearing about things like ChatGPT, and of course, there's lots of other things too, were you sort of thinking, okay, we've got to leverage this stuff. We can do really good stuff with this thing. Were you planning that far ahead?
Yeah. So basically, because we've been sort of doing this since, you know, 2017 now, you know, back when the AI was still very simplistic. You know, sort of like, I'm pretty sure you remember the early versions of Envision app, where it will just, you know, simply say stuff like, this is a chair, you know, or, you know, it's a table, and, you know, it's, you know, like super simple stuff. So we've been keeping a tab on the developments around AI, you know, since then. And we always knew that AI is going to evolve to the stage that it has, you're now, eventually. We were just very, you're surprised by the speed at which, you know, this whole thing happened, right? When a ChatGPT, it came out, it sort of, you know, took everyone by storm. And that was mainly because of people always thought a tech like this is at least 5 to 10 years ahead of them. But then, you know, boom, it was just, you know, available to everyone almost overnight. So the speed of it, you know, the whole thing becoming available was the one that really excited us. But in our, you know, like sort of like discussions here at Envision about our roadmap and about the direction that we as a tech company are going to be heading, this was always in line with that, you know, like bigger picture that, you know, we always had in mind.
Okay, so you've now launched on the Envision glasses the Ally service or virtual assistants, call it what you will, which is AI powered and which is quite incredible. And there is also a mobile application for iOS and for Android that's in beta test. And I think you're kind of encouraging people to try out this public beta on their phone, isn't that right?
Yes, that's absolutely right. We need as many people to offer us feedback on, you know, like beta of Ally. So there will be a links, you know, like to this that will be shared, you know, with you that you can add to the show notes. And yeah, everybody who is listening to this can just install it on their phones and give it a spin.
I love this app, by the way. I'll talk maybe in a few minutes about some of the things I've been doing with it. But let's just get, if you can tell us first of all a little bit about, for those people who have the glasses, what can they do with Ally? How does it work? What kind of things can it help with?
Sure. So basically, the whole idea behind Ally started as, you know, like a way to just making access to information as fast as possible to our users, right? So just to, you know, go back a bit in the past, if you like saw how Envision glasses or how Envision app or any other app in the market a couple of years ago were designed, was they all had these discrete functions, and each function was specialized to do just a discrete role, right? So there was a function to read text, there is a function to get a description of an image, there is a function to read a banknote, there is a function to recognize a face. And all of these were these discrete pieces. So if at that point, if a user had to, you know, go into into a cafe and just, you know, and if they want to know how much is a cappuccino, they have to, you know, whip out their phone or their glasses. They have to go to scan text. They have to, you know, take a picture. And once the picture is OCR'd, they have to sort of, you know, go through the whole of the menu just to know how much is the cappuccino. Well, with all this advancement that are happening around Ally, we thought, okay, what's the way to do that much faster? And what we landed upon is that when a user opens the app or the glasses, they always have a question in their head. And the only thing that they're looking for is just an answer to the question. They don't care about the features or the technology in between. So how about we build something where they can simply just start with the question, and then we figure out on the back end which is the right tool to use to answer that question, and we can answer it for you. So now in the same example with the cafe, with Ally, you can simply hold up your phone and simply ask how much is the cappuccino, and then Ally will sort of do the heavy lifting of, you know, taking a picture, doing a layer cropping of the image, doing a layout detection on it, looking for the cappuccino, and then speaking out the price to you. But all of that happens in under your 2 seconds. So to you as a user, it's almost as good as having a conversational assistant just you know, like replying to you almost as, you know, snappily as a human would.
I completely agree. And I said there just a couple of minutes ago that I talk about some of the ways I've used it. It's probably a good time to mention this, Karthik, because you might be interested. So I am amazed at how quick it is and that you don't even have to press a button to say take photo. You just say to it, tell me X, Y, and Z. So I had a Christmas card in my hand the other week and I said to it, can you read this card for me? And it just, there it is. Let me take a look. It reads the card. It was absolutely, it's kind of mind-blowing. And I think, you know, for those of us who work around technology for a long time, things don't blow our minds too much, but this stuff really has. It's incredible.
Yeah, exactly. So the whole conversational aspect is like the first aspect of it, and that's what sort of makes it very different from everything that has existed so far. But the second thing that is also pretty amazing in the way we are building Ally is that it's also not just a conversational assistant, but it's also a personal assistant. And it will do the personalization in like two ways, where on one hand, it can sort of, you as a user can like volunteer information about you to Ally, which it will then use as a context to actually answer the questions in the best way possible, right? So you can inform Ally about stuff you like, stuff you don't like, stuff that you're allergic to, and it can sort of use all of that information to offer you a lot more of a richer insight instead of just reading out information around you. So just to go back to the example with the menu, if your Ally understands what kind of food or preferences that you have, you can actually ask Ally to make a recommendation. And Ally will then be able to scan the menu and it will be able to, you know, just make a recommendation off of that on the basis of stuff that you like or you don't like. So you don't just get information, you also get a personalized insights with Ally.
You've even done, you can build the personality that you get. So you can make it jokey or make it smart or sarcastic. I've loved playing with all these things.
Exactly. So that's the second aspect of having a personal assistant, is that it also has a personality, right? So it's not just a TTS, which is just a reading out stuff to you. You can actually have it be a professional. You can have it be your funny. You can have it be your kind. You can sort of define exactly how you want your assistant to be, and it will imbibe that incredibly well and just always be there to support you in like way that you want it to.
Now, I know you can do all this on the phone app, and I should say the app is really accessible. I love the user interface. It's very minimalistic, I suppose. The app is not cluttered. There's a couple of buttons, and it's very clear what everything does. Can you do this stuff on the glasses as well, Karthik?
Exactly. So that's the third and probably the most exciting aspect of Ally, is that your Ally is built to be, you want to be ubiquitous, as in it's supposed to be available everywhere, right? So you can use it on your phone, you can use it on the glasses, you can use it on, you know, like the web. We're also working on a phone number that you can just make a call to, and you can still talk to your Ally over there. So the idea is that Ally is an assistant that will be available across all the platforms that's out there, both platforms that exist as of now, but also your platforms that will be introduced in the future. So the idea is that Ally is available everywhere. On the glasses, as of your today, it's a beta, so you can only do the conversational aspects. You can sort of do the, like the to and fro. But with subsequent update, we'll be introducing a way for you to sync your accounts. So all the personalization, all the personalities and everything that you've built on the app on your phone, you can sync it with the glasses, and then you will have the exact same experience of using Ally on your phone and your glasses. It'll be exactly the same.
Okay. And the app, if you have the glasses already and you're in beta, you can set up the app pretty straightforwardly, can you, on the glasses?
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. I know we're going to have a quick demo of this in a sec, Karthik, but maybe just before we do that, where is all this? And you guys are at the cutting edge of this, and I know you may not want to tell us everything, but where is all this coming or where is all this going? And I suppose I'm thinking of things like having the glasses or having your phone and walking along and being guided in real time. Or, you know, maybe you need to go to a particular shop and you're walking along and it's telling you exactly where you are in real time. Are we near that type of functionality?
Yes. So there are sort of two very exciting, a direction where this whole thing is heading. I think the first thing is the speed and the processing capabilities of AI, and that's what will enable the more like the video streaming kind of experience with something like Ally, right? Because if you think about it, a video is nothing but just a series of images. And as of now, it sort of is taking a discrete images, but it's only doing it after a few frames because of the time and your effort it takes to process an image and extract information from it. But as we are optimizing the speed it takes to process each frame, and as that process becomes faster and faster, we will be able to do videos as well, because a video is, like I said, it's just a series of like frames next to each other. And when AI has the compute and the power to process all of those frames, in subsequent frames, it will be able to do like the live video kind of experience that we are all going to be heading towards. And I think it's about like not that far into the future. I would say it's about like 6 to 8 months you're away from having a capability where Ally can just be always on and keep on looking through either your phone or your glasses and be actually be able to help you look for things around you.
It's going to be incredible. Again, it's that mind-blowing factor, I think. I the other thing I did with it, by the way, a couple of weeks ago, I got it to describe my living room, and it was incredibly accurate. In fact, it described some things I didn't know. And then I said to it, what else could I do here? And it was talking about color contrast, and it was almost like its own interior designer, Karthik.
Yeah, exactly. So it's also pretty subjective, right? It's not just very factually just spitting out opinions. So spitting out objective facts. It also sort of adds its own opinions into it. I do that a lot. I actually ask it for your suggestions on how I should improve a space at my home, or if like a shirt that I'm wearing, if it is a fit with the pant that I want to wear. So it sort of also has this sense of of aesthetics and stuff like that, which actually makes it incredibly useful even for me.
I've used it, just speaking of shirts, I've used it when I want to organize my whites. You want to make sure all your white stuff gets washed together. So I take a picture before I take off my shirt, if I can't remember what color shirt I'm wearing, and it tells me. It's just, some people might think they're very simple things, but they're so liberating. If you've no other way of quickly doing it, it's fantastic. So we're going to put a link in the show notes to the beta for both iOS and for Android. Karthik, do you want to just give us a bit of a quick sense of how it works? Because I think if people are listening to this and haven't seen this, this is going to be very interesting.
Exactly. So let me do a quick demo, and then I will sort of walk you through exactly what's happening in the background. And okay, then that will give you a good insight into which is the direction that this whole thing is heading into. So I'm just going to start off my Ally by hitting a button, which is a talk to Tom.
Hello there. How's your day going so far?
It's going pretty good. Can you tell me, what is it that I'm holding in my hand at the moment?
Let me take a look. You're holding a green bottle with a playful design. The label features the word folly, along with an illustration of a dinosaur on what appears to be a pair of ice skates. The cap is also green, matching the body of the bottle, giving it a cohesive look. It seems to have a fun and quirky style, likely making it something delightful to hold.
So that's a quick description of the bottle, and sort of it goes the extra mile. But I can also ask it about other things. For example, I can go ahead and ask it something like, hey, I am going to be stepping out into Amsterdam for a dinner tonight. Do you think I should take my umbrella with me?
It's expected to be a rainy evening in Amsterdam, so taking that umbrella along would be a wise choice. Enjoy your dinner.
There you go. Very, very, very good. Very good. Kartik, we can, you know, as well as all the great stuff that you've just shown us, we can hear that the passion that you have for AI and the passion that you have for developing this and the passion that you have for just improving the lives of people who are using your technology. So thank you for all that you do. We really appreciate it. It's great to collaborate with you here at Sight and Sound, and we're delighted to be part of this journey with you. We will, as I say, have the information on the beta apps on the show notes, so do go and check them out. Kartik, for the moment, it's been a pleasure to catch up with you. Continued success, and we look forward to talking to you again in the not-too-distant future.
All right, Stuart, it was a pleasure talking to you, and yeah, you know, like, we'll stay in touch.
It's all about AI, isn't it? Imagine being able to ask a question of ChatGPT anywhere on your computer with a simple key press if you're using JAWS. Well, that's now a reality thanks to Blazy Engineering, and they're based in the UK, of course, and I'm joined by Kelvin Duncan, who is a technical project manager and all-around great guy. Kelvin, great to have you on the show.
Thanks so much. Thanks so much for having me.
We were just chatting off air. Blazy Engineering, you guys are the original, because Blazy have had something of a resurgence in the US. They've kind of come up under, I guess, under the same name, but a slightly different company, trying to revive an old product. But you guys are the original, right?
We certainly are the original founding members from day one.
Right. And how long have you been with the company?
I've been with the company since 2008, so it seems like a short period of time, but it also seems like a really long time now. So yeah, we have been there since then. But Blazy have been in the UK, have been around since 99, I think.
I want to, and you know, we're going to talk about what you've just done with AI in a sec with JAWS, but Kelvin, just before we do that, I think people who sort of hear Blazy Engineering or Blazy UK, some people I've heard some people call you guys, will know you best as people who go in to support the corporate sector. And ultimately, let's face it, to make sure that visually impaired people within companies where you work get to keep their jobs, right? Because you guys make solutions to make applications usable with screen readers. And I'm often just interested about that journey when you go into a corporate setting and there's an app there and there's just no feedback from JAWS. Do you throw your hands up in despair? How do you even start?
Well, look, you know, Stuart, we are in the first instance super passionate about ensuring that blind people have access to the digital spaces that they need to be able to be employed. We all know that there's that issue with employment in the UK and worldwide for blind people. But we do, you know, sometimes we do come into organizations and find a sort of applications that are simply just not giving any feedback at all to JAWS, or that are just not set up correctly, or that need some modification. And yeah, it does sort of make you want to pull your hair out. But I think the important thing is to always try and keep everybody on the same page and get them understanding that we're here to achieve a common goal. And also, more importantly, there's nothing that motivates us more than a blind person who actually genuinely wants to be employed and wants to work just the same as anyone else.
Are things getting better, do you think, in the accessibility space? I mean, is it becoming easier for you guys to do your work?
Oh, do you know what? I get asked that question all the time. And it's actually, as with all things, quite a complicated answer. But essentially, we are actually noticing some real improvements, but then we notice a lot of things falling out the back door as well. So we get this sort of like two steps forward, one step back type situation going on where we're getting this great feeling. And I think a lot of people in sort of all over now, you know, the accessibility is a real deal. everybody knows the word accessibility. It sort of exploded over the last 3 to 5 years. Before, when we first started with Blazy, you brought us back to when we were first starting with Blazy, and you know, ages and ages ago, there were people who had literally did not understand what the term digital accessibility meant. Whereas now, everybody does actually know the term at least, but unfortunately, not everybody understands what it actually means. And I think the true key is not necessarily making something accessible, but it's knowing how to make it accessible in such a way that it's usable in a real-world context. So I think, ultimately speaking, we're making a lot greater strides in ensuring that things actually are accessible. But ensuring that they are accessible in a real-world context is difficult. So, for a quick example of that, I know we don't have a lot of time here, but a quick example of that, I talk about this all day. But if you, if you can make a kiosk accessible, let's say in McDonald's where you have to order, your stuff. I know that a lot of work has been done there to make those kiosks accessible in the States, for all sorts of reasons, but mainly to prevent them from getting, a legal case brought against them. But essentially, if you make that accessible, but you can't do it in such a way that the person can order their product in the same time as what it takes a sighted person to do that, then you've not really done a great job. And that's the problem, I think.
Yeah, and it's about it's about getting that out there and making accessibility part of your DNA, I suppose, for companies, isn't it? That it's just something that they do.
Yeah, I mean, when we deal with companies who actually include the accessibility at the design and development stage, we always achieve much greater results at the back end. There's always work to be done at the back end, because I think it's going to take quite a lot more time to be able to get to the stage where things just are working amazingly out the box. When we have dealt with people like that, it just makes life a lot easier.
Okay. Well, Kelvin, clearly you're doing great things. Keep doing. There's people I speak to who use your products in the workplace, and they have nothing but great things to say about Blazy. So you guys are clearly doing great stuff. So listen, I was just thinking about this actually last night. It's about 2 years ago, or maybe a little more, since I guess like everybody, like the whole world, we heard about ChatGPT, and I stumbled across the website. Oh, I wonder what this is. And, I started playing with it, and it was fine. It was always a bit convoluted at the time. I remember there was rakes of unlabeled buttons. And even back then, I was thinking, God, it'd be great if there was like a quick interface that would let me use this. And you were obviously playing with it too. Were you thinking that back then?
I think so. I think when I first, I actually, even as a sort of person who's fairly technical, I actually sort of veered away from using ChatGPT just because I could see the potential of it, but I was getting hugely frustrated with having to use the website and not being able to get an answer really, really quickly. I really wanted, that was my main focus. I just wanted to get an answer. I didn't want all the sort of background noise of it all to try and struggle to get the answer. But I was thinking that initially up front. I was thinking, look, when this gets better. But then I think that the initial thought of when this gets better very soon turns to how can I contribute, or how can we as a company, Blazy, contribute to making this better?
Okay, and this is I think your first kind of foray into. Because this is not a corporate product. This is not something you've made. This is for end users. This is for any of us. People who are listening to this podcast today will be able to go off and try this out. So you're going slightly different direction?
We certainly are. I mean, this is actually our very first, one of our sort of very first real attempts at trying to engage the home. I don't want to call it a home market. I want to say home users, because this is not about making money. And I don't think we are going to make a huge amount of money here. I think this is more somewhere between the market and a social experiment, I think, is what we're trying to do here. Essentially, what I've got is a product that was born out of frustration, and I'm just trying to see whether or not we can actually share that with people and actually, there is obviously a cost to us, and therefore we have to try and sort of cover that cost. Mm. We were trying to do it at an affordable price point where people can actually afford to engage.
So you've developed Blazy Agent, which is an application that runs with JAWS to allow you to access ChatGPT? How does it work?
Well, this is the smart thing, really, is that you can actually, as long as you have JAWS installed, you can actually download a copy of Blazy Agent. You can play with it for free, and you can immediately access the ChatGPT 4.0 model. Obviously, for those of you who aren't sort of clear on that, obviously you've got various models that ChatGPT have, older models that are slightly less clever, shall we say, and then the latest models that are available. And what ChatGPT allow you to do, and there are lots of different like front-end applications that allow you to access ChatGPT directly. So I don't want to pretend like Blazy are the first or like we're like a trailblazer in this particular area. There are lots of front ends that you can use. How accessible they are remains to be seen. But one thing I can tell you that as far as I'm aware, there is nothing that allows you to be anywhere on your machine, press one keystroke, type a question and get a response immediately. And that's what Blazy Agent does.
And it is really instant. I was playing with this the other night, Kelvin, and typing in, and then you can virtualize the response. You can copy the response to the clipboard. Might be worth just explaining some of the terminology. And it's very well explained, by the way, in the user guide. All of these things are available online. We can give the web address at the end. But you have questions and you have, I think it's instances or interactions. Is that right? Where you have a group of questions?
Yeah, so essentially we wanted to be able to replicate the idea of being able to ask a single question, get a response, and get a very quick way of reusing that response, like possibly copying it somewhere else or rereading it or repeating it to yourself. And then we have a group of questions, which so we have those questions grouped together so that you can continue the conversation with the AI so that it knows what it is you asked up front. So if you've got a particular set of questions that you want to raise with it, then you can return to that, let's say, that conversation thread or those thoughts later on.
And you're doing this from anywhere in Windows, right? Regardless of what application you're in, you press the Blazy Agent, and it's all based on layered keystrokes, and all the keystrokes are detailed on the website. You press the Blazy Agent, relevant keys depending on what you want to do. A little edit box pops up. It's the other thing, Kelvin, that I noticed is it's really fast.
It certainly is. It's hyper quick. Obviously, ChatGPT do control sort of what sort of response time you get based on your level of, if you are a plus user or if you're paying more money or the time of day. But generally speaking, it's hyper quick. And that is one of the things that I think Neil, who's the main sort of architect of Blazy Agent, has worked really hard to, my sort of brief to Neil was, I want to be able to ask a question anywhere, and I want it to give me an answer really quickly. And he's achieved that. So, hats off to Neil. And, just a little heads up to Ollie as well, who's done all the training material and all the sort of work on those kind of things. So those guys have worked really hard. When I say I had the initial idea, that's maybe not very fair, but I sort of had the initial prompting was like, what can we do? And that was my end. And ever since then, I've just been playing. I've just been enjoying it. And the other guys are doing all the hard work.
Well, I think it's a great job from all of you. I suppose AI is changing all the time. ChatGPT is always updating itself. There's paid for and free plans in ChatGPT. I presume, and this is the first, the version one of Blazy Agent. I presume you have plans for this to develop.
Yeah, we would like to see this go. Ultimately, I'd like to see this go across all screen readers so that we're not disadvantaging anybody in the home market. Again, like I explained before, I really want to reach out to people who are home users to be able to share with us what their thoughts and we've had some great responses so far, from people who have already fed back to us things that they would like to see. Some of the examples of that would be like, they'd like to see more the option of being able to upload documents, the option of being able to use the voice mode, various things like that. And those are all items that we would love to include, and even using, I mean, I think you were saying, so it'd be awesome to be able to just hop onto the ChatGPT site perhaps, or maybe even use your existing plan that you have.
Yeah.
All of those things are in our back pocket and something that we're looking to develop and move along swiftly. But in the first instance, what we have to ensure is that A, this product is working seamlessly. So we've had a couple of people report one or two bugs. And that's important that they can report that kind of thing to us, and they can get it really quick. I mean, Neil is on it. He is literally on it. When you're getting these bugs reported, he's getting them fixed. He's getting them ironed out. You can get updates, downloaded very quickly, very easily. So that's the first instance. And then the second instance is to ensure that this thing is working, is it achieving the main goal, that it is really easy to use, and that we're not excluding the people who find it difficult to do this kind of thing. Because, I mean, for you and me, maybe, Stuart, and there's a lot of other guys out there, some of the users we've been talking to, they don't find it particularly difficult to, set up a ChatGPT account and navigate the website and copy the details and scroll the page and or take whatever information they want and so on. They don't find that very difficult. Maybe a little bit cumbersome, but not very difficult. Whereas some people actually just find it as like a huge barrier to actually being able to access the resource. And that's what we're trying to knock down. Let's get that barrier removed. Let's get people familiar with using this kind of thing. And let's see where we can actually go, because let's face it, AI is exploding all over the shop. So
yeah, very exciting. How do updates work then? Will the app update from within the app, or do you go and download the installer?
At the moment, we're downloading the installer. We do have other products that update directly inside the app, and to be honest, that's a question that I'm sort of pondering at the moment. How easy can we make it to actually update? Because if certainly in the first few incarnations, we're gonna push updates regularly. But I'd say that the safest thing to do is to check the. You get every time the program loads, it will tell you whether an update is or isn't available. So, well, it won't say it's not available. If it doesn't say anything, then there's no update available.
Right.
But it'll tell you that there is an update available. And then the best thing to do is to go to the Blazy Agent website, grab the installer, and install the latest version. I mean, for example, just a very small tweak that we've made recently is that, as you said, we use everything with layered keystrokes, Windows key and the space bar, followed by the Q for query or question, and N for new conversation, those kinds of things. But we have a V for virtualize the conversation, so that you can actually reread what you've said to the AI as a sort of a conversation. But we noticed very quickly that obviously when you do that, if you've got a very long conversation, then it's not helpful to be able to grab the last piece of information that you said. So we've added the command shift plus V, which will then allow you to just, you can switch between those two options of just being able to read the whole lot or actually just grabbing the last piece. And obviously you can repeat the answer easily with Windows space and R, and Windows space and C to copy. I find that feature for me is like the number one feature.
Yeah.
Because I ask it questions and I press Windows space and the C to copy the answer that I'm getting. In particular, we talk about this not being able to use in the business space. Some corporates will probably allow you to install this kind of thing. It depends on the size of the company and what their policies are, etc. But as long as you're not using sort of personalized information.
Mm.
But we also have plans to try and avoid the need for, because I think that the main scare for large corporates is the fact that you're sharing information here, which they may not want you to be able to share. So especially personal information. But if you're just looking for a very quick answer to something, so we wouldn't want somebody who is employed not to be able to get the answer to a question that they had. The other day I had a question just while I was reading an email, and this is where it's super powerful. You sat there in your email, you press a keystroke, you ask it a question based on something that somebody said to you, and it just comes back with this answer up front. And people have told me that in the workspace they're asking things like, can you summarize the GDPR for me, or can you give me clause whatever it might be of the GDPR and summarize that for me. So those kind of questions are completely legitimate, and there's no reason why you can't use that in the business space. And we fully anticipate, Blazy fully anticipate that in time, you once you have the you've got all you're playing by the rules, you should be able to have these kind of things in the workspace. But, you know, there are plans to for us to be able to do things with Copilot and other models, you know, the models that Meta are using and those kind of things as well.
I'm very glad you said that, because I was about to ask you about Copilot. So, yeah, very glad to hear that. Yeah, okay, so tell us about the plans you have in terms of payment, because there's two subscription models, but there is, of course, people can try this out for free right now, right?
Yeah, I think, I mean, at the moment, the bulk of what we're getting through is people who are trying this out. And I'm really happy to see that, because I can't reiterate enough how keen we are to be able to reach out to home users and go, hey guys, this is Blazy, look at what we can do. And also, you know, traditionally speaking, it's always about employment, it's always about business, but actually, let's hear from you guys. The power of what we do at Blazy is not necessarily all the complicated technical work. It's really understanding how these things actually affect people in their day-to-day lives and in employment and at home. And we don't know enough about that. And I really want to know that. So it's free there for you to try. That's one option. And then obviously you've got the monthly, bi-monthly or yearly plans. Yearly obviously saving you quite a bit of money, but the benefit, of course, of working on a monthly basis is that you can roll on, roll off. You can jump off whenever you like. There's no sort of you're not tied in.
And that those payment options can all be done through there's a Blazy agent web interface, isn't that what I think you call it?
It certainly is, and you know when you apply for all these things and you do all these things, the whole Blazy agent is designed to be super slick and really easy to use. So there's not like a whole complicated mechanism for doing this. It's all accessible. I mean, one of my major bugbears is shopping online. I find it so annoying. Having to get all these workarounds, especially date pickers and all these kind of things. They really annoy me. But we've made it in such a way that you can pay via credit card, and that it'll just charge your card monthly, and you can obviously quit that at any time if it's not something you're interested in anymore.
Okay, fantastic. Well, Kelvin, I suspect there'll be lots of people downloading it to try, and it is one of those things, as I said to you, I was using it the other night, one of those things that after 2 weeks, you'd really miss it if it was gone.
I think so. I mean, I've definitely incorporated it into the way I'm working and the things I'm doing day to day, and obviously in my personal life, it's you know, it's got no end of benefits, and I genuinely mean that. It has got no end of benefits. I haven't actually used my ChatGPT account in many months, because this is just a much easier way of me doing it. But one, you know, one thing we would like to do is my colleague Ollie is really keen to jump on online and answer people's questions and queries. So we want to do like a webinar might be a little bit of a strong word for it, but we would like people to engage people and invite them online to trial and tell us about the things that they've been doing with it, and anything that's interesting that people, because some people have done some really, like, you know, out the box thinking to get the AI to give it some really good answers and responses.
It kind of reminds me of the Steve Jobs mentality, where he used to love hearing what people were doing with Apple products that they hadn't thought of themselves. You know, he just enjoyed hearing people's feedback.
I mean, that is indeed, I can't tell you enough how important it is for us to get that feedback, because it allows us to, it's very easy to complain about something and say that this isn't working the way you want it to work. And if you've got a completely wrong understanding of what the products are designed to do, then we can't really help with that necessarily. But what we can help with is we can keep making this better, quicker, easier, and just make it really slick to use. That's what we're keen to do, and to hear back from everybody. So I can't wait to hear back from all of you guys about how you're using this and what you're using it for, and, you know, bring your insights. And I promise you, Neil is working on fixing any outstanding sort of bugs. There actually hasn't been too many, but he's working on those, and any sort of feature requests, we'll definitely get them in the queue.
I can speak to that. Like, even in the couple of weeks we've been chatting about this application, Neil has been back and forward with emails. Oh, Stuart, there's another update. Do you want to download this one? Do you want to download this one? So you guys are really working hard. Thank you for all that you're doing for the community, because I know this is a slightly different type of gig for you guys, but we're really, really excited about it. Do you want to give the website where people can go and get it?
Well, it is. You can obviously go to Blazy itself, you know, blazy.co.uk, and grab the information there. But the website we're using at the moment is www.blazyagent.com. And that, you know, all the information is available there. And if you've got any questions or queries, just reach out to us.
All right, Kelvin, it's been an absolute pleasure catching up with you today. Major congratulations on continued success with Blazy Agent and all the other great work that you do. I hope we'll have you back to talk, so we'll probably talk about loads of other things. But for the moment, thanks a mil for joining us.
Awesome. Thanks, Jeff. Thanks for giving us the opportunity.
And thank you to Kelvin Duncan. Thoroughly enjoyed catching up with Kelvin there. What a great guy and a great team at Blazy Engineering UK, innovating for the good of not just keeping visually impaired people in employment, but now for the good of the community. And of course, such a pleasure to catch up with Kartik Mahadevan as well. The Ali app, it's just fantastic. Make sure you give it a try. That's just about all we have on this edition of the show, though. We'll be back soon, but until then, from Stuart Law and everybody at Sight and Sound Technology, take care, thanks for listening, and goodbye.